get enough of your amazing love. I can't get enough. I can't walk away. No, I can't walk away. For I have seen your I just wanna be where you are. I just wanna be near your heart. There is nothing like your love. There is nothing like your love. Jesus, I can't get enough.
Time.
Praise the Lord.
It's chat time again.
Yes, praise the Lord. It's chat time once again. And this week we will continue to discuss current events and scripture.
Praise the Lord. So it's that time again for that phrase of the week. Did you ever wonder where the phrase, the highways and hedges, did you ever hear that? That means that you go outside of the city and you search for something, whatever it is that you want. And it comes from the Bible, the King James Version of the Bible, and it comes from Luke chapter 14, verse 23, and it reads, "And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." And that's the phrase for the week. All right, so a week or two ago, I was talking about things that were on my heart a lot, thinking about, like, about the heart, you know, about prosperity gospel, especially since I saw Mike Murdoch on one of those.
Yeah, false prophet, uh-huh.
And what struck me is he said, of course, he doesn't look like that now. I mean, if you Google him, He doesn't color his hair hardly at all, and he looks so old. But he was saying that the Bible talks more about money than the Bible talks about prayer.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true. It depends on his interpretation, but I bet he didn't mention that in talking about money, the Bible talks about how man worships mammon. And that's his downfall, and maybe that's probably why he thinks that it talks more about the finances than it does about prayer. But I don't but understand how he looks at the word, because he's so off-centered.
If you've ever watched him, did you ever notice that he doesn't preach from the Bible? He preaches from one of his books.
Oh.
Every time you see him, he's preaching from one of the books that he wrote.
That man loves money. He not likes it. He love.
But it's really sad.
Money. And I can't get it why people would send him their money. I mean,
well, they
keep
have
your
it
money.
On in the middle of the night, and you know, in the middle of the night, you're probably awake and can't sleep because you're worried about money.
But if you're broke, don't give your money to him. I mean, you just be broker. You'll be more broke. I mean, you just won't have anything. The man loves money. He doesn't care that you're suffering.
Well, anyway, there is a danger in the prosperity gospel. There, you know, because people are tricked into thinking that that's going to solve all your problems.
That, you know, money solves the problems, and that if you sow, and they talk about sowing a seed, which is really the seed is the word of God. You can sow many things, but when they start talking about sowing seed, you're talking about sowing the word of God. Now, I just don't understand. People can be desperate. I get that. But if you listen to somebody tell you, if you give me your money, somehow you're going to get blessed. If you just give it to me, give me your electric bill money, and next month you'll have more than enough to pay for your electric bill. That doesn't make any
All
sense.
All your debts will be paid
off. Yeah. You have to go to the scriptures and the word of God. Lord gives us common sense.
Well, this article comes from the Christian Post, and it's talking about Southern Baptists recently adopted a resolution rejecting the prosperity gospel, calling it false teaching and a distortion of scripture, particularly regarding Jesus' atoning work on the cross. They assembled in Anaheim, California recently for their, annual meeting, and they passed Resolution 2, which defines the prosperity gospel as a belief that Jesus' sacrificial and atoning death grants believers health, wealth, and the removal of sickness and poverty.
Well, it does in this sense. The Lord said, if you seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added. So yes, it does. It's just that you don't, as a saint, go to try and seek after wealth and to seek after mammon in order to get rich, especially if you're trying to get rich quick, because the Lord said, without a doubt, a person who tries to get rich hastily is going to sin. It's like without any reservations, they're going to sin. So the Lord says, so your concentration, your motive, and your aim in life should not be trying to just get rich, because that means you worship your riches. He said, if you seek me, I'll add all that to you. You won't have to worry about it.
So the resolution declares that this theology represents a distortion of biblical generosity, exploits vulnerable people, and blames people who are sick for lack of faith while corrupting a biblical understanding of suffering.
Well,
how about a lack of faith?
Yeah, I don't know what they're talking about. Just like Mother Teresa. Okay. When people gave to her, she put the money in the bank. Okay. She claimed she had no use for money. When you went to her ministry was basically a hospice. If you were suffering from illness, she wasn't praying that you recover. She wasn't praying that the Lord heal you. She just made you up a pallet and was like, you can die in peace. And that's basically what she was saying, because God takes glory in your suffering. When she got sick, she went to the hospital. She went to some of the best doctors. That's probably what she was using that money for, her medical bills. But the average person, they tell them one thing. So as far as your suffering, yes, you look to the Lord to heal you. Yes, you look to the Lord to deliver. Because he said you can ask. He said to be in health and prosper as your soul prospers. The Lord expects that.
So the doctrine, here's another article, and it talks about the doctrine of prosperity. Doctrine of the prosperity gospel states that material wealth and possessions are the right of every Christian.
Well,
it states that if correct spiritual practices are followed, those who profess Christ are guaranteed prosperity in this life. But What about Matthew 6:24? It says you can't serve God and
that's the difference between serving God and mammon and expecting prosperity. When you serve God, you expect the Lord, just by faith, to take care of you. You trust in God to provide for you. You trust in the Lord to give you an increase. And the cost is tied into the natural. You might be the type of person that spends your check as quick as you get it. I mean, I've known people who claim to be saints, but the moment they get paid, they're broke within a week. You know, so God can bless you, but through your own decisions, you can put yourself in the poorhouse. But yes, when you are saved, you can expect the Lord to bless you, but that's not your end goal in life.
But the prosperity gospel promotes idolatry.
Right.
So putting money as your God.
Right.
Instead of Jesus.
Yes. The Lord calls it mammon. The prosperity doctrine causes a person to seek after material things to try to take care of that which is spiritual.
And there are a lot of messages that are preached in some churches that money has become the object of worship with God being nothing more than a means to an end.
Yeah,
so they're more interested in...
It took them all this time to come to that conclusion?
You know, this is somebody's opinion.
Uh-huh.
Just telling about what he thinks. The reason why some people identify as Christians today is that they were told that coming to Jesus would make them rich. I think, and it goes on, this opinion goes on to say, in some African churches, pastors instruct worshipers to tithe with the scope of receiving returns on their money in the future. Well, that's not too far from the truth.
It's not.
The Lord will bless.
Right, but they shouldn't be doing it in the spirit that I'm going to give my 10%, I'm going to sit back and watch how much God increases my money. No, there was a person who said they were going to give an offering and they're going to see how much they were going to get back from God. And they said, no, you're giving for the wrong reason. But the Bible, the Lord God himself said, if you pay your tithes, he will bless you. So it is not unreasonable for a person to expect God to bless them, but they can't do it in a sense like God owes them anything. The Lord has just simply told them, I will do it because you have been obedient. And then a lot of people today, they teach against tithes, but you have to teach, if they're teaching against it, it would be only in this light that I could see it. If you're saying not paying your tithes will send a person into perdition, the Lord didn't say that. But if you're looking for a blessing, if you're looking for, and it might not be financial, if you're looking for God to open doors for you, when you pay your tithes and you're giving as unto the Lord, God will honor it. And I don't care what the people who come up with this philosophy that you shouldn't pay it. I said, maybe you can advise a person, well, if you tell a person don't pay it and they decide not to, I have never, ever witnessed a person prospering when they refuse to give God the tithes that they could give the Lord. They could actually do it, but they refuse to do it. I have never seen them prosper. Never. Not with that attitude. I have no saint anyway.
You know, if you're flipping channels in the middle of the night, you know, you find some, and I don't know, maybe it's more on weekends than not, but that Inspiration Ministries or the Inspiration Camp meetings, mm-hmm. That's almost like a disease because it used to be just Mike Murdoch on there. And
no, it was more than Mike.
But now they have all these other.
They always did it.
Preachers.
Mike was just a little drop in the bucket.
No, on that one particular program.
Oh, there's a program?
Yes. And then they've got like a half a dozen other
people begging for your money.
Right, yeah. Right. Saying different things.
But you see,
you know?
I think people who give money like that do it because it replaces faith. It's almost like works. It's easier for them to make a financial donation thinking that somehow they will get a good result rather than to trust God.
It's like an investment, like you right. Invest in stocks or something.
Without having to have faith. Yeah. You say, I can afford to give 100. So you give 100, yeah. Not because you're trusting in the Lord, but because they have promised you a rate of return on your offering. Yeah. So It's not based on faith. It's just like before, and I don't know about Luther, and I don't know about the Lutheran church or anything like that, because some of the things to me are a little sketchy. But at the time that he came out, people were having to pay for being delivered, or pay to be proclaimed a saint or saved or accepted by God. And it was in tiers according to how much money you paid. It went in levels. And so he came and he said that that was contrary to scriptures and he wouldn't take down. And that's how the Lutheran movement began. But these people are being taught some of everything.
It just seems like it's more and more. And it's almost like a disease now.
That's because people, they want the increase, but they don't want the increase in God's word. It's a lack of faith. Because if they truly believe God and God says, seek me first, that's what they would do.
I've never run across a passage in the Bible where it showed that the apostles preached prosperity.
No, they don't have to because of what God told them.
They
can't. The apostles could not preach.
Because even
that.
There's that scripture that where the, you know, the man was lame or something, and they said, "Silver and gold have I,
none, but such as I have, I give unto you." But they can't preach prosperity because God told them the way to prosperity. They would be preaching contrary to what God instructed us to do. He said, "Seek me first."
And I think the most vulnerable are people who first come to the Lord. I think they just want to soak up everything. They just want to learn everything. And in doing so, they read the wrong things, or they listen to the wrong people, or, you know, you have to make sure that you're in the right church. You're listening. You're going.
The Lord has to direct you to the right place.
And, you know, check yourself. You should check yourself before you start deciding to give money.
Well, you give as unto the Lord, but the
I mean,
Spirit
listening
Lord,
to all those televangelists, there's so much
right,
on.
Right, but they should be getting their teaching from their leader, from a teacher, from a pastor, from somebody who knows the word and who's living the word, who's saved, who's spiritual. Somebody who can actually instruct them and teach them. A lot of these people find themselves in a situation where they're trying to teach themselves, and that's where you err. Or you find people who feel like afterwards that they know just as much as you. You know, I saw this person, she's been saved about like 8 years, and she's supposedly a prophet or a prophetess, or I don't know exactly what her title is. But I'm looking at some of the things she talks about, how she doesn't purport to be a pastor, but she fasts constantly, and a 3-day fast is basically nothing to her. I forget what her name is, but I'm listening to her. I'm listening to some of the things that she does and says, and my first reaction is, she's still a baby saint.
Oh.
She's still a baby saint, and I bet if I told her that, she'd have a fit. But she's still a baby saint. She needs someone to sit down and teach her. Not that God doesn't give her revelations, not that God doesn't speak to her, but she's still a baby saint.
Well, anyway, I think it's important for people to know that you just don't hand your money out to whomever is asking for money on TV, any evangelist or...
Well, even if they come and ask in person, you have to know. You know, you have to go by the leading of the Lord, but a lot of people think that they are being led by the Lord because they're so desperate. But I think after a while, you know, when they don't see any results, the Lord will begin to deal with them.
When your house isn't paid off.
Because God said he won't leave you ignorant. Now, the Lord will begin to teach a person. He will begin to guide a person. I don't think the Lord will leave that person in a state of ignorance. I just don't believe it.
Well, anyway, I'm off of my soapbox about the prosperity gospel. Yeah, I saw this article. I think it was sent to me by someone. The CDC is withholding crucial data on post-COVID vaccination.
Really?
About heart inflammation. And that's sparking a concern. It's not only heart inflammation, right. But I read that there are a whole host of different diseases that people are affected.
Yes, and now they're trying to give this warning, sort of hinting that you might have to get more vaccinations. No!
You know, and so now the boosters are out there, like you should get it like a flu shot or
just make the pharmacy rich. That's all. No.
But it's no secret that COVID-19 vaccines can, in some cases, not every case, trigger inflammatory conditions, including pericarditis.
After all these deaths, after all these people have gotten
sick. But that's
sick.
Not the only type of inflammation.
I know it's
that's
not. They're not giving everybody the full story, because if they did, people would just, out of common sense, say, I'm not taking it. It hasn't been tested. It hasn't been tried enough for us to be ejecting this garbage into our bodies.
So withholding all the, you know, when the CDC withholds all this information or doesn't answer questions about missing data or they paint a wonderful picture about all
these boosters.
Of course
they would, because they're making money. And the statistics that they come out with aren't really valid, because this doctor said, he said on a death certificate, when the doctor fills it out, it'll say the cause of death, and it'll say contributing factors. And they told him if part of the contributing factor was COVID, they could just go ahead and put COVID as the cause of death. That's what they wanted the doctors to do. And I believe there were a lot of doctors that did that. But this one doctor said no. Because when I say contributing, I'm saying contributing. I'm not saying that was the cause, because it wasn't. But a lot of doctors, they said they were so tired and so overworked, they just checked COVID. So we don't really know how many people actually suffered and died from COVID. We don't know.
And then they use that phrase that I don't like, where it says the benefits outweigh the risks.
Yeah, well, take the risk.
And what if you're the one who, it's like playing Russian roulette.
Yeah, and then somebody had the nerve to say you should do it for your fellow man. No. I'm not taking the bullet for the person. No, that doesn't make any sense. You know, I feel like in a situation like that, you put all these minds together that the Lord has provided people with the knowledge, the intellect, which is exactly what happened, and researchers and doctors came up with all kinds of different solutions that were actually working. And what happened? They got blacklisted. They got fired and terminated from their jobs. And I'm thinking, no.
Well, I don't know. Even the medical assistant where I go to the doctor, I didn't take the COVID vaccine or boosters or anything. And she told me the last time I was at the doctor that she said she would not have gotten it if it wasn't mandatory, where she would have lost her job.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of people are realizing that now.
Right.
So anyway, an article was sent to me. This is from ABC News. And you know that Vivek Ramaswamy running for...
Oh, yeah. He reminds me of somebody, but I can't put my finger on him. It's not anybody good, but I can't put my finger on it.
You know, he's calling for a renewed belief in God and country on the campaign trail, listing God is real as the first of his campaign's 10 foundational truths, even as he fields repeated questions from conservative voters about his own Hindu faith.
Yeah, I think he goes wherever the wind blows. That's the feeling that I get. If you watch earlier clips of him talking on different subjects, it's like wherever he is, if this is the thing that you have to say, that's what he says.
So he would be the first Hindu president if people decide to elect him. I don't know. He says that your first line
I don't think he believes
a voter in Iowa said, your first line says God is real. Mm-hmm. And the voter wanted to know, what God are we talking about?
Right. Because
in Hinduism, there is one supreme God, the Brahman, mm-hmm. B-R-A-H-M-A-N, that can be manifested as several gods and minor deities. Christians believe in one God and the teachings of his son, Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know.
And what did he say?
It doesn't say what his answer was. But I guess he says, I'm a Hindu. I was raised Hindu. We raised our kids in the same tradition as well.
Which means he believes in most
I happen gods. To be well-versed in the Bible because I went to a Christian high school.
But it's not his faith. And just like Obama, Christianity was not his faith. I don't care what they say. Christianity was not his faith. So you have, and if you have somebody who does not believe in the Lord God Almighty, their decisions aren't based upon what you would think they would be based upon, what you would consider they would be based upon. You're not on the same page. You're not communicating. And I'm glad that person asked him, what God are you talking about? Which one?
I'm telling you. Well, I don't want to lose track of time here. This was getting interesting here. But that concludes our program for this week.
Yes, praise the Lord and let everything that have breath praise the Lord. This week's verse of the day comes from Proverbs 14:7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. Now, ain't God all right?
God is all right.
Praise the Lord. Last week's food for thought was, when John the Baptist came and did not eat bread or drink wine, what did the people say about him? And then when Jesus came and ate bread and drank wine, what did the people say about him? And the answer can be found in Luke chapter 7, verses 33 to 34. What they said about John the Baptist is that he had a devil. And when what they said about Jesus was that he was a glutton and a wine bibber. So Luke 7:33 says, for John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say he had a devil. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. This week's food for thought is, what is far, far, far from the Lord? Hint, the Bible. And that's food for thought.